Lord, I just want to lift Mummy up to you. I want to bless her with all of your love, Lord, because she's a strong woman of God, Lord, and we just want to bless her. Because you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So provide a nice word for her that she can preach to everyone about. And you're Jehovah Rapha, healer. So heal her every time she needs your help. And be with her and guide her through whatever she has to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can do me out of a job.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Rita, sit down, please. I'm about to preach here. Hello. Are you all happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Because God is a good God and God loves us so much. And he has anointed me to preach the good news. And I'm grateful that I've been obedient to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to be awkward for you. I'm willing to embarrass myself this morning. Whatever it is that you want me to speak, I'll just stand and open my mouth and believe and hope, God, that you will speak a word, not only for others, but for me. That even when I share this word this morning, that I will get the healing and I will get the blessing and I'll be part of it. So I'm excited. I'm excited because I don't know what I'm going to say. But I'm excited because I know what God is going to say. And I'm always excited to hear from him because when he speaks, he heals. Amen. We had a lovely weekend. We thank God for the healing and those that have been healed of hearing, because at least they have no excuse that they didn't hear my word this morning. We thank God for Balda and the Iceland team, and I don't know how I can follow up from that today. God speaks to us in so many different ways. God speaks to us in different situations, and I believe that God can also speak to us through our hobbies, the things that we like to do, and even through our jobs. For the farmers, God can speak to them through the seeds and the plants and the soil. For me, God has been speaking to me through my job, working with children. I just want to share with you how he has done that and how I have come to prepare the message that I have for you this morning. I was working with this child for a year now. And each time I visited this child, she would ask me the same question over and over again. And the question was, when can I see my dad? There were obvious reasons as to why she couldn't see her dad. And I ran out of excuses of why. But I managed to go and speak to my managers and convince them that this is the right thing for this child. And so I was given the permission to go ahead, and I was so excited, and I waited for her on my next visit with this question: Shine, when can I see my dad? And I said, next week, Friday. The child was excited, the child couldn't believe, and I was excited as well. 2-3 days later, I got a telephone call from the school. They said, this child, since you told this child that he's going to see his dad, she's become disruptive in the class. She's throwing things. She's not concentrating. I got a call from the carers. I said, why did you do this to this child? This child can't sleep. She can't eat. She's wetting herself. And I thought, what have I done? I thought this is exciting news. I thought that this is what this child was always hoping for. This is the same question I had over and over again. Is this not the answer she was waiting for? And I said, okay, I went and I saw her. And I said, what happened? And this is what she said to me. I don't have any more hope. She said, I can't wait. She said, I can't do it again. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you brought out all these feelings of rejection, Feelings of, am I good enough? Feelings of, why me? Feelings of, what if he doesn't love me? What if he doesn't even show up? And I thought to myself, I've asked this child to wait. I've asked this child to feel again, to hope again. So how am I going to change this? How am I going to help her? And this is where I came to prepare this message. Waiting in the Lord. Waiting in the Lord. Am I speaking this morning to someone who has given up hope? Is anyone in the room here who has said, do you know what? I don't want to pray about that anymore. I don't want to pray about that sickness anymore. I don't have enough hope and faith to believe that it's going to happen in my life. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for that we see not, we wait with patience. How did I expect that little child to wait patiently for that day, yet she has no hope? Am I speaking to a church that has lost hope? Am I speaking to a people that have lost hope? I hope I'm not, because this morning the message is for me to encourage you to say, get up. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to talk about Sarah, Abraham, and Hagar. And I'm going to talk about waiting in the Lord. What do I mean by waiting in the Lord? Why am I not saying waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord means that he hasn't shown up. That's in my definition. He hasn't come. He hasn't done what he said he would do. But waiting in the Lord is what Johnny was praying about. Waiting for Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here, waiting in him. Waiting for Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who has already healed us. That's already happened. Waiting for Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who has provided everything. He says, I have given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we're no longer waiting on him to show up. We're waiting in him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have God speaking to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, you will become a father of many nations. How can I become a father of many nations when I don't even have a child? God, you're asking me to hope again. God, I trusted you when I was 20 and 30 and 40. Now, 90, 100, you want me to believe that I'm going to be a father of many nations? What is God asking of Abraham? How can we hope again? How can we have faith to believe for something that we have buried in our lives? How can we believe that Lazarus can raise from the dead, yet we've buried Lazarus 4 days in the grave? How is that possible? It is possible because we serve a God of impossibilities. Nigel said this morning, let every man be a liar and God be true. So what he says, it is true. Hallelujah. Sarah hears the news, and Sarah begins to panic. Just like my little child here, instead of receiving that message with joy and excitement, Sarah begins to panic. I can't hope again. I can't go through those emotions again. I've been barren for such a long time. I've prayed for such a long time. I've cried for such a long time. Don't ask me to do that again. Don't ask me to revisit that thing again, God. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do it my way. I've got a plan, says Sarah. So Sarah goes and he talks to the maid, Hagar. And he says, do you know what, Hagar? You are a beautiful woman. You look like you can carry my promise. You look like you're better than me. I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it to have that promise. I am old. Imagine Sarah was Doc's age when God was saying, can you carry that promise? Can you have Isaac? So Sarah gives Hagar to Abraham. I don't know how the culture was in those days, but I don't know if any women here have been hurt by men, hurt by relationships. I speak from experience. I don't think it was a light decision for Sarah to hand Hagar over. I don't think Sarah went ahead and thought, oh, that's so great. I'm going to have a son. I believe Sarah was feeling feelings of rejection, feelings of I'm not worthy, feelings of why God? Even if I have a baby at 90, you want me to be the laughing stock. My own friends have got great-grandchildren and you want me to have a child. How would that look? What did Sarah do? Sarah began to walk in the flesh. Sarah began to listen to other voices that were not the voices of God. Sarah decided that I can't deal with what God has for me. And that's the danger in unbelief. When God speaks a word into your life, which direction are you going to go with it? My three main points today in helping, in talking about waiting in God, is that one, we need to wait patiently. We need to wait in faith. Faith is the substance of things we hope for. If we have lost hope, then how do we wait? How do we believe that that is possible? We need to wait in faith and wait patiently. When we lose faith in God, we gain faith in something else. We stop to believe God, but we're going to start believing something else. Getting Hagar to fulfill the promise meant to Sarah that he would not have to wait any longer. It's the easy way out. It meant that she didn't have to pray. She didn't have to trust, but that she just had to, it became easy for her. But the road that Sarah has taken has caused her to walk in the flesh. Because of unbelief, Sarah talked herself out of God's promises. Church, there is a spiritual battle that goes on from the time we receive our promise to the time it is fulfilled. And it is during that period that we need to stay in Him in faith. It is during that period that the enemy is walking around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. It is during that period that the enemy wants to steal from you. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is during that period of waiting that you need to know where you are waiting. If you were waiting for a train to go to London and you go and wait in the bus stop, you might not get onto the train. You need to be waiting at the right place. You need to know where the stations are. You need to know what you'll be doing during the process of waiting. So I told this child to wait, but I didn't plan. From the time I gave her the message to the time she's going to meet the dad, what was she going to be doing in that meantime? And during that time, she was hearing the voices that were saying she was not good enough. Where do we as Christians wait when we're waiting on the Lord? We've had great prophecies for the church. What are we going to do with them before the time they come to pass? If we're not waiting in God, we will lose them. We'll be discouraged. We'll be reminded that you can't preach, Shine. You're not even good enough. They won't even listen to you. And I'm listening to the voice of the enemy because I'm not waiting in God. Waiting in God means that you are covered. We sang a song that we are surrounded by Him, so we are in Him. It is the safest place to wait. My sheep, John 10:27. It says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Where are you waiting? Whose voice are you hearing? Whose voice are you hearing? The Bible says, those that wait, He shall renew their strength. Your strength can be renewed if you're waiting and listening to the voice of God. What does God say about you, Sarah? What does God say about you? I know that society says you are too old. I know society has rejected you. I know your husband has agreed to something that was not God's promise and it has hurt you. But Sarah, listen. Listen, Sarah. You serve an amazing God. You serve a God that has everything for you. He says, call unto me and I will answer, and I will show you great and mighty things. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Someone who needs to hear a word from God. Someone who needs to dream again. Someone who needs to see that vision again. Am I speaking to someone who wants to hear the voice of God? The voice of God is speaking to you right now. The voice of God is speaking to your soul and to your heart. He says your children will come home. Your children will come home because you are serving I Am. You are serving the Alpha and Omega, who knows the beginning from the end. He says you will be healed because I healed you 2,000 years ago. I am Jehovah Rapha. Stay in me. Remain in me. In him we move. In him we live. In him we have his being. And if we are in him, then we will hear the voice of God. Then we will abide in him and he will abide in us. Hallelujah. Am I preaching well this morning? Am I healing someone this morning? Oh, I thank God because he's a mighty God. I stand before you, church, because he has healed me. He has healed me, and I can smile this morning before you and say, I know the Lord will make a way for you. I know the Lord will make a way for you. Just open up your ears, open up your heart, wait in the right place, listen out for his instructions. He is a good God. He is a good God. Ruth, he is a good God. There's one thing he can't do, Ruth. Do you know what it is? That is to fail. He doesn't know how to fail. That's one thing that God doesn't do. I'm speaking to you to you this morning, church, to a God who does not know how to fail, to a God of impossibilities. And I'm encouraging you to hold on to that word that you've received. Hold on to your promise, Sarah. Hold on to your promise, Sarah. The word of God says, by this time next year, you shall have that promise. You shall hold that baby in your hand. Do not listen to any other voice. Stay in the word. Hallelujah. Are we together, church? Yeah. Amen. I feel like I'm alone up here. When you're waiting in the Lord, you need to wait in good company. You need to wait in good company. I have a friend. Her name is Lucy. She has never missed any of my preachings. And every night before I preach, she sends a message and she says, girl, you go. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. I'm cheering you on. You're my best preacher. And I said, you probably haven't listened to anybody else, have you? She says, but you know what? You need people that can tell you to keep going. You need to be around company that says, you know what? I understand that that's your calling. I understand that you haven't had a baby for 90 years. But I believe in you. I believe in you. Hallelujah. Amen. You need, Mary found herself in Elizabeth. When Mary was told the word that she was going to carry a king, she went to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women. What kind of a friend is that? Who believes without even seeing? He said, blessed you among women. For the baby you will carry will be king. And she began to prophesy over that. Ah, David, you need to find yourself a Jonathan, a covenant friend, someone who will stick by you. Naomi, find yourself Ruth. Found yourself Ruth, someone who will say, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people. Hallelujah. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We need to find people that are pregnant as we are, that are carrying something, that will go with us to our neonatal classes. Yesterday we had a baby shower for Tahila, and it was lovely, it was exciting. We're excited about a baby we haven't even seen. How much faith do we have? We're excited and we've made the preparations. We've bought the clothes, haven't we, Pam? It's all. But we haven't even held the baby in our hands. Oh, how much of a good faith is that if we have it in our lives? If we start preparing, God gives us a word and we start to prepare for it. We start to buy the clothes. We start to prepare the nursery room. We call people and we celebrate and we say, do you know what? God has said this is what I'm going to be. And so let's celebrate. That's the faith that God is looking for. Those are the people that God is looking for, people that listen out for his word and trust what he has said to them, what he has spoken to them. Psalms 1. It says, blessed is he, is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. As I speak to you this morning, I'd like you to search your heart and ask yourself, who is surrounding you? Who is speaking into your life? Who are you walking with? Who are you laughing with? Who is encouraging you? I believe that we are a season of waiting. And God has spoken words. God has opened doors for us. And we are in the season where we're waiting for the next instructions and for the next move. Who is around us? Who is with us? Who will encourage us? To just recap on what I've said this morning, I said we have to wait in God, not on God. Because God has already come. God has already provided everything that we need. God has given us everything that's pertaining to life and godliness. We have to wait for his instructions, which means we have to listen out for his word. God, what are you saying to me in this season of my life? God, direct my path. God, direct my step. God, where shall I go? Listen out for his voice. And finally, find company. Find God-loving people. Find people that will believe that what God has spoken into your life is true. Thank you.
An amazing word. Thank you, Shine. The Lord gave me this morning Psalm 63, and it says, O God, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And this morning I had a picture of a tug of war almost, and God was one side of the rope. And we were the other side. And I feel there's people this morning that are in a bit of a tug of war with God, that they're finding it difficult to wait in that place, to wait patiently and trust in him. But it says we have to go to that sanctuary. We have to submit ourselves to him. We have to let go of that rope. And that's what he's asking this morning. So I just ask the prayer ministry team, please, to come out. We're going to pray. Anybody that needs prayer for the words that Shine's spoken, that they're in a difficult place in trusting God, in waiting for him, in feeling hesitant as if God isn't going to turn up, just come up for prayer. Come and meet with God this morning. He's here in his sanctuary. He's here now to answer your every need. There's nothing that he can't do for you. He's taken every burden upon himself. He bore every sin. He drank every bit of the cup to set you free this morning. So give way. Let go of that rope and say, I'm not fighting you anymore, God. I'm going to come, submit, seek your face, rest in you, hide under the shadow of the wing, it says further on in that, and that my soul will go behind him, put him in front of whatever you're doing. So prayer ministry team, please come up, take your badges, and anyone then that needs prayer, just come up, just let go this morning.